You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Tuesday, August 8th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, U.S. government finds drastic climate change impact in the U.S., but we may not be able to be told about it. Meanwhile, ICE continues to become even more despicable. And Sinclair Media poised to become a more insidious and powerful Fox News. Trump's base shrinking a bit, but GOP still loves him. And 2020 is all the rage right now. But Dems have a 2018 problem. Labor takes a big loss in Mississippi, and the Pentagon contemplating ISIS strikes in the Philippines. Because why not? And lastly, the debt ceiling is looming, and the question is, will Democrats use their leverage? All this and more on today's program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, just a, news as I read it up there is slightly depressing today. Which is not to say that it's not slightly depressing on most days. But I've got good news. One piece of good news. Should we save it or, trademark BS, as we call it around here, or some other people call it the Michael Brooks Show, launches tonight live at 7 p.m. on our YouTube channel, which is how do people get to our YouTube channel?
It's / Sam Steeter.
YouTube.com/Sam Steeter. It's the Majority Report YouTube channel. And Michael, give us a brief description of what will happen tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
So what's going to happen is Hannah Gaze, formerly of The Baffler, is going to be in to co-anchor it for a little while. And she has a piece on...
She got fired when they found out that she was appearing on your show?
Exactly. And but accepted to Harvard for graduate school. So, yeah.
Harvard can rescind that too.
I'm actually just getting notification that her offer of acceptance to Harvard has just been withdrawn because of her association with me. So we're going to talk about a piece that she has on Richard Spencer and respectability racism, and then she's also a Russia specialist, and we're going to be talking about this deep state narrative. And then there is a sketch and a cold open that's been put together, and I'm going to lock somebody in the pyramid.
And, well, you don't have to do the entire show right
and
now.
And then at about the 12:15 mark. No, anyways, you get a sense of it. It'll be streamed live at 7 p.m. That show will stay on YouTube and also be the public version of the podcast. And then the post game will be the first member show that will go up on Patreon tomorrow as well. And patreon.com/TMBS. Thank you to the first 448 members. Thank you.
Wow, that's a lot of members. That's good. All right, folks, so you can check that out, 7 p.m. Eastern time. This story I found rather funny. So apparently in San Francisco, there is a private street that was sort of like... Well, I don't know if it was quite a gated community. I guess it was. Maybe it was a gated community. And the association had a responsibility to pay a $14 annual tax. This is a private development that's been managed by the homeowner since 1905. And they had $14 in tax that they owed. But for years and years, apparently it did not get paid. It's a property tax bill. 3 decades, 30 years, $994 in back taxes was owed. And apparently in 2015, in April, the road itself was auctioned off to pay for that $994 in back taxes. And an entrepreneurial couple, Tina Lam and Michael Cheng, purchased the road in the auction, won the auction, $90,000 and change. And I don't think that they actually even live in the private area. For the past 2 years, they've been meeting with real estate lawyers to find out exactly what their rights are is to the use of that road. And now they're contemplating charging the residents of those mansions on that private street parking fees on their own street. I don't know why I find this so funny.
Because it is.
Of course I do know
it's
why.
It's hilarious.
Past homeowners in that area include Dianne Feinstein and her financier husband, Richard Blum, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, the late Mayor Joseph Ailito. There's a guard stationed around the clock at the stone gate entrance to the street, apparently to protect Tina Lam and Michael Cheng's street.
They shouldn't charge the guard for parking.
Yeah, the guard should get a freebie. They also apparently owned the sidewalks and every other bit of common ground in the private development. We just got lucky, said Cheng, a real estate investor. The homeowners, however, are getting a little bit upset because they just didn't know about the $14 a year that they weren't paying. And they're claiming the city did it. It didn't offer the proper notice, and the city says we did. There are 120 parking spaces on the street that they now control. I think $5 a day seems fairly reasonable, but I would probably go for $50 a day.
Yeah, I would increase that a little bit.
How many of those homes need street parking? Let's be honest. If you have that big of a mansion and you need to park on the street, you need to look for a new house.
Maybe. But what if they want really, maybe they want anybody who's coming to service their house to come drive in their driveway? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think so.
I was thinking
the era of the pajama boy is over.
So there is this jerky is one homeowner who did not want to be named because of pending litigation. I was shocked to learn this could happen and deeply troubled that anyone would choose to take advantage of the situation and buy our street and sidewalks.
Yeah, almost like privatizing a commons for public gain, gain. Oh,
right.
What a shock.
It's really stunning. I would be, I would not be shocked or surprised to find out if that homeowner has actually done the same thing to make money for themselves to afford that mansion.
Yeah, I kind of wonder. It's like, you remember that there, this does remind me, and I'm being indulgent here, but there is that Jerky Boys prank where he proposes to like set up visitation around his mom who's sick and like charge fees for family members to go up different flights of stairs. He's just like, and then there'll be another fee when you go into the bedroom. More money, do you see? That's exactly what they should do to these people on this block. More money, do you see?
Maybe they should just set up like a little like sort of lemonade esque stand on
exactly.
one of their sidewalks.
Yes.
And when people step on the sidewalk, they can go, excuse me.
Hi. That's going to be
25 cents
with interest for back sidewalk privileges, which comes
out
to
$7. I would imagine the way this ends is they lease it back to very funny story. I enjoyed it quite a bit. You know, folks, you got to. Got to pay you $14 in taxes.
That's a good activism opportunity for if we can get like DSA to raise some money to start buying streets in rich neighborhoods.
Yes. Private streets.
That's a great idea.
Hey, speaking of surprises, surprises are exciting. Predictability, boring. I have surprised two people in my life recently with pro flowers. My dad, as when he was getting better from his illness, and my wife. Pro Flowers makes it easy for you to surprise somebody right now. And they're making it even easier with a special offer for my listeners. If you hear the sound of my voice as I speak right now, you can send Pro Flowers colorful rainbow roses. This is the one I got for Nikki. When did that come? Like last week? And it lasts a couple of days. Sometimes I forget to take home from the office. You get 20% off this collection or any other of their unique exclusive bouquets of $29 or more. So do the math. If it's a $30 bouquet, it's $6 off. That's sweet. ProFlowers.com makes choosing the perfect surprise bouquet simple and quick. You get to pick the exact date that your unexpected surprise will arrive. The flowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. We've had a couple. I've got like probably now 3 or 4 from Pro Flowers. And the flowers really do. They're in great shape. Sometimes you buy the flowers, you know, I used to get it from a bodega. You take them home and literally like 15 minutes later, they start to droop. And yes, I put them in water. It's more bloom for your buck with Pro Flowers. You get 20% off the rainbow roses or any other bouquet of $29 or more. Go to proflowers.com and use my code CEDAR, S-E-D-E-R. That's my last name. Not an A. There's no A in there. It's CEDAR. And there's no C in there either. It's CEDAR with an S. That's proflowers.com, code CEDAR. Do not wait to make someone's day. All right, let's get into, this is the big story of the day. And, you know, there's really a sort of a low-grade war. The only war going on today is not simply whether or not the left are purists and racists, or whether or not Kamala Harris should be already just named the president. There is actually an ongoing battle with the Trump administration basically against our government. And you know, we've seen this, but we saw the outlines of this when Trump was elected. You know, where you had like EPA scientists who put all the data on outside servers because they were afraid it was going to get wiped out. Well, they were right. And Bannon going to CPAC and saying that this project is all about deconstructing the administrative state. And we see the appointment of either complete morons or experts at fighting these agencies appointed to the head of these agencies. So there's a draft report every 4 years. It is congressionally mandated that government scientists put out an updated report. I guess it's every 3 years. The National Climate Assessment. And it is to assess what the situation is with climate, particularly as it's impacting this country. According to the New York Times, the average temperature in the United States has risen rapidly and drastically since 1980. Recent decades have been the warmest in the past 1,500 years. You don't know that. You weren't alive at that time. According to a sweeping federal climate change report awaiting approval, you ready for this? By the Trump administration. Right. The draft report by scientists is from 13 federal agencies. It has not been made public. So what we're seeing here are scientists obviously getting paid a huge amount of money on the side, making money off the hoax, even though they're working for the government now. So, you know, you got Al Gore is just writing them checks right now. Evidence for a changing climate abounds from the top of the atmosphere to the depths of the ocean, a draft of the report states. The authors note that thousands of studies conducted by tens of thousands of scientists have documented climate change on land and the air. Many lines of evidence demonstrate that human activities, especially emissions of greenhouse heat-trapping gases, are primarily responsible for recent observed climate change. The National Academy of Sciences has signed off on the draft report. The authors are awaiting permission from the Trump administration to release it. We're just going to play this music for infinity.
I like that music.
Another scientist involved in the process, who spoke to the New York Times on the condition of anonymity, said he and others were concerned that it would be suppressed.
Hey, what happened?
I would be willing to bet a significant amount of money that this would be suppressed. The report concludes that even if humans immediately stopped emitting greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, the world would still feel at least an additional half degree Fahrenheit of warming over the century compared with today. The projected actual rise, scientists say, will be as much as 2 degrees Celsius. 2 degrees Celsius is like 5 degrees Fahrenheit, right? I can't do that math.
I don't know, but...
It's not good.
It's worse than not good. That's absolute catastrophe.
Right. Among the more significant of the study's findings is that it's possible to attribute some extreme weather to climate change. The EPA is one of 13 agencies that must approve of the report by August 18. So there are scientists who come from 13 different agencies across our government. Each department must approve of it. The EPA is one of those agencies. You'll recall Scott Pruitt, the head of that agency, does not believe that carbon dioxide is a primary contributor to global warming. He thinks that it's God juice. The report says significant advances have been made linking human influence to individual extreme weather events since the last national climate assessment was produced in 2014. So in other words, just in the past 3 or 4 years, it's become even clearer. And I think we mentioned this last week. There were reports out that global warming had been had begun earlier than previously believed. And so the progression was actually, I guess, faster or more building steam in some ways. Maybe steam is not the right word. The draft concludes that there was a medium likelihood that the climate change played a role in the Texas heat wave. They were more convinced that there was relatively strong evidence that showed the heat wave in Europe of 2003. I don't know if folks remember that, but a lot of people died. And in Australia in 2013 were more clearly linked to global warming. The draft report finds it extremely likely that half the global mean temperature increase since 1951 can be linked to human influence. It studied the entire country and says that global climate change impacted every part of the United States. Increases of 5 to 7.5 degrees, like I said, of Fahrenheit, by the late century, changes in this country. Now, for those of you who feel and are afraid that the Trump administration will suppress this report, I have not good news for you. The staff at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, this was a piece in The Guardian. The USDA have been told to avoid using the term climate change in their work. I don't know if that's one of the agencies that has to sign off on it. I imagine it is. And I also imagine if they won't use the words climate change in their work, they may be a little hesitant to sign off on a report about climate change. The officials were instructed to reference weather extremes. One email from a Bianca Moibus Kloon, the director of soil health, lists terms that should be avoided by staff and those that should replace them. Climate change is in the avoid category, to be replaced by weather extremes. And instead of words like climate change adaptation, staff are asked to use resilience to weather extremes. The primary cause of human-driven climate change is also targeted. The term reduce greenhouse gases is in the avoid list. Build soil organic matter, increase nutrient use efficiency is in the use category. Meanwhile, sequester carbon, you know, in any type of like a
not in the use category.
Well, because
that would mean that you're indicating carbon some sort of a problem.
Well, and what you're supposed to use is build soil organic matter.
Yeah,
which is actually the same thing they tell you to do with little kids. You don't say don't
build
lie to
soil
me.
Soil organic matter.
You don't say don't lie to me. You say tell me the truth. So that's all they're trying to do is be more positive.
Just tell me the truth.
Moibus Kloon wrote that references to economic growth and emerging business opportunities in the rural U.S. agrotourism and improved aesthetics should be tolerated and appreciated instead of using those climate terms that are contentious. Apparently, in a different email, Jimmy Bramblett, the deputy chief for programs at the NRCS, said it's become clear one of the previous administration's priorities is not consistent with that of the incoming administration, namely that priority is climate change. Please visit with your staff and make them aware of the shift in perspective. There was a staffer, a guy named Tim Hafner, who wrote to Bramblett, I would like to know correct terms I should use instead of climate change and anything to do with carbon. I want to ensure to incorporate correct terminology that the agency has approved to use. Some other staffers were not enamored with this. On an email on July 5th, an employee stated, we would prefer to keep the language as is, stressing the need to maintain the scientific integrity of the work. Obviously, one of those classic hoaxers, probably one of the yes men, embedded in the agency. Then they're going to release these emails in a fun-filled box set where they'll make more money on this climate change hoax. So good for those entrepreneurs posing as scientists and people who care about the climate. They're going to make some big bucks. Big bucks. More story about ICE, too, and then we'll also talk about Sinclair Media. These are three stories I want to get to. I should say also in just, you know, we'll probably comment more in the fun half, but there was a piece by Ryan Cooper. I mean, you talked about this yesterday, right?
About Cooper's piece. I didn't even mention that, but well, yes, Ryan this Cooper broader
wrote
sort
a piece
of
that
issue.
Sort of like ripped the Band-Aid off of this sort of argument, where Ryan Cooper was basically saying my take was he was trying to get out in front of the criticism the counter-criticism to criticism of Kamala Harris and I know, I think someone just told me I pronounced her name wrong, but Deval Patrick and Cory Booker. And the criticism ranges from Kamala Harris not choosing specifically to ignore her own agency's recommendations when she was state attorney general to prosecute or attempt to prosecute Steve Mnuchin. And if you go back and listen to our January 26th interview with David Dayan, he wrote the book on a lot of this. He wrote a piece specifically on that then, back in January. And the criticism of Cory Booker has been for his closeness to private equity. I would also add into that, personally, for me, his role in the privatization of education. I mean, he was chummy with Betsy DeVos before Betsy DeVos was Betsy DeVos. And Deval Patrick, who, as governor of Massachusetts, signed legislation, albeit passed by a Democratic legislature, that basically made it impossible for government or state employees to negotiate. And I can tell you, state employees in Massachusetts don't get a particularly good deal. My mom, having been a professor at a state community college. And then, of course, Deval Patrick left government to join Bain Capital. Yes, that Bain Capital. And so there's criticism of these three, and there's criticisms of others, but these three are being touted in certain circles. Deval Patrick by the Obama people. Kamala Harris apparently was being wooed by the Clinton people or donors. Cory Booker, just because he's been out there, seems to me semi-advertising that he wants to be president for, I don't know, since he was mayor of Newark. And I think Ryan Cooper wrote that piece and combined them because trying to head off any notion that this is race or gender-based. Now, I don't know if that was necessarily the smartest thing to do to try and avoid that accusation. You could have thrown in, like, maybe people don't trust Gillibrand on the left because where she was as a congressperson.
The point that I made, and I still refuse to learn this guy's name, but the guy from Maryland, who's the only announced Democrat so far, I think is it Henson or something like that. You know,
well, nobody cares about that.
But that was precisely my point. Is that
well,
the reason that
Gillibrand is? I think there's reason to believe that
Gillibrand would work. I agree with you.
And
the reason
Murphy,
that Doe's and Murphy, well, is oh, Murphy yeah. have is Murphy have the same sort of. I don't know if he's quite in the mix in the same way. But Murphy could work too. But the point I'm making is that their scrutiny is on candidates that are important and significant candidates. And incidentally, even if you're not planning on voting for any of those three candidates, that's great.
Well, but my point is that Murphy and Gillibrand, you could easily put them in the same category as those three. And certainly you could find criticisms about both of them as well. Yes. That probably would have gone further to make the point. I mean, the level of defensiveness is also part of the problem.
Definitely.
Sometimes he who denies it supplies it. I'm not suggesting that's the case here, but sometimes it can look like that. Anyways,
the fuck? you were rolling, you're making distinctions, you're adding to the debate, and then you got to do that.
Well, all right. The point being is I think it's perfectly legitimate to talk about these things. I don't know if I would necessarily do the groupings that they would. I don't know why the supporters of Kamala Harris are different than the ones of Deval Patrick and are different than the ones of Cory Booker and Gillibrand and Murphy. So, I mean, if you're going to make a statement as to complaints that the left have with certain people, you might as well just do that and include all of those people. Martin Longman had a very good piece on it. I mean, David Day as well, in addressing it in various forums, which is, look, nobody on either side of the argument is paying any attention to the foreclosure crisis. And it's of special import to Dayen because he knows about it. He spent 7 years writing a book about it, more or less, reporting on it. And I think his sense is like, you know, this is more tribal than it is legit criticism. You know, if you just have a two-sentence critique of someone without any depth and understanding, because he basically says everyone was miserable in the foreclosure crisis, starting with Obama, starting with, frankly, I would argue, Obama's response to Paulson when he was president-elect, through the HAMP program and through that sort of fake mortgage commission that Schneiderman was a part of. And so David Dayen thinks that, you know, more time should be actually thought about the issue rather than just using it as a bludgeon for different candidates. And Martin Longman also had a pretty good piece which suggested that maybe the left should also sort of contemplate not just what these people can do to win over the left, but should also contemplate how their critiques of those people can be done in such a way that doesn't look like it is based upon race or gender. When you combine those three people, when there is perfectly, you could throw Gillibrand in there, you could throw Murphy in there. You know, because if you just want to keep it to like, let's just talk about Democrats who are in the Senate or who have held position before, you know, as opposed to Zuckerberg, who's going to end up being the president. Or at the very least, the one guy who's going to bring together the liberals and the left. That went on further than I wanted to talk about because I want to just talk about this ICE. And, you know, there's also a lot of talk about the generals. I mean, John Kelly, the Department of Homeland Security, I mean, I said this in passing a couple of times, but it bears repeating. The dramatic change and what's going on with ICE and immigration policy in this country. A couple of weeks ago, Ronald Reagan called in, talk a little bit about just the legal immigration policy as well, but had noted even, I think, several months ago that there was a distinct policy change amongst ICE that basically criminalizes anybody who is in this country without documents. So it's not just going after people who have broken laws since they've been here. It's going after anybody. And of course, at ICE, these people are such that they would much rather go, you know, hunting for deer than to hunt for, I guess, a lion at close range. So this story out of the Hartford Current, an undocumented immigrant from West Haven was arrested by ICE agents in Connecticut after the man's 9-year-old son was used as bait. So here's the story. There was this guy, Espinoza. He's 31 years old. He's from Guatemala. He alone, I think, attempted to enter the U.S. in 2009. He was caught at the border, returned to Guatemala. A year later, or later that year, I should say, managed to get into the U.S. with his wife. Espinosa has been working as a mason and living in West Haven. He and his wife now have 3 young children who are born in this country and U.S. citizens. God, man, There's just the problem with Masons in this country, well documented. Oh, maybe not that kind of Mason. His 9-year-old son, who is a fourth child, who was not born in the country, is also undocumented. He was picked up about a year ago attempting to enter the U.S. unaccompanied. 9-year-old from Guatemala, trying to find his family. At that time, ICE officials turned the boy over to his father in Connecticut. Espinoza promised to bring the child to any scheduled immigration hearings and to cooperate with requests from ICE officials. This is the way it used to be, right? Where you would hear this, they were protected under DAPA. And it's just simply guys like Espinoza who are here never breaking a single law in this country. He had at the time a civil infraction, which was entering the country without documentation, never committing a criminal act, was allowed to bring his 9-year-old kid in there. He's got three kids who are U.S. citizens. Espinoza was requested to come to ICE offices in Hartford to sign some papers for his son, was immediately arrested when he did so and transferred to detention in Massachusetts. He was fleeing persecution in Guatemala and will face imminent danger, according to him, if forced to return there. It's just stunning. And John Kelly presided over all of this. Last month, there were almost 1,700 refugees leaving this country in a refugee camp in Quebec. 1,700. Super gross, man. Super gross. Yep. New York State is already trying to ban ICE from hovering around courthouses. This stuff really is, it's also incredibly dangerous because you're going to have a segment of the population that's going to be afraid to report crimes, to protect themselves, to protect others. It's going to be really, it's not just impractical. It's just incredibly morally repugnant, but all right. Going to take a break, head into the fun half. Well, hopefully I got the less fun stories out of the way.
Those were, let's see, we basically covered that the planet is not going to be inhabitable pretty soon.
I'll tell you something.
The Trump administration is going to suppress the science of it, yes.
Here is the upside.
Mm-hmm.
Those people escaping this country for Canada,
yep,
much better shape when global warming hits.
Without a doubt. Then we've discovered that both the left and sort of center of the Democratic Party are failing and ignoring 2018. And then ICE is using children as bait. And we have a situation in Quebec that could look like something in Lebanon or Jordan. That's great. Maybe we will have a slight uptick in the second half of the show.
Well, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about how effed up our media is going to be when Sinclair gets these things. I know I've touched on
this. Sinclair's a big league fucking media organization.
Oh, let's just talk about this.
Have you seen Bordas on that? They'll hire anyone.
It's been an interesting 2 weeks for Eric Bowling. we'll finish the show.
Look at this Jeter jersey.
Well,
that doesn't turn you on. What the hell?
Do you remember, like, last week, I think it was, it looked like he was advertising for a job with the Cubs.
He was auditioning.
And then, that day, I saw someone report that Ivanka Trump followed him on Twitter for the first time. But then, of course, the PC police came around and said, hey, not appropriate for you to send dick pics to your colleagues. Which is really, it seems to me, just I mean, what if you think that your people you're working with don't know that you have a penis?
You know what? All I can think of
is... Are you just supposed to sit there and do nothing about
it? It's not
that?
Even that complicated, Sam. It's simply an inability to have a free and open exchange of ideas.
I wonder if he put, like, when he would text dick pics, if he would put, like, surprise, look what I got. Bet you didn't think I had one. Well, look.
Hey, this is Roger Ailes. You got his shirt. The fucking girls here know you.
If
got
you
one.
Wanted some proof, if you wanted some proof that there was nothing morally reprehensible about this, or that perhaps this is just some type of conspiracy to bring down Fox News, which you know has been propped up by the tentpole, forgive the pun, of Eric Bolling. Here is riding to the rescue, and you know he's got to be sincere because he's on a competing channel. Pat Robertson.
You know, I want to say something I've been reading about in the press, and I don't have a lot of first-hand information, so I may be, off the wall on it.
Yeah, but that's probably right.
Think of this. If you wanted to destroy the Fox News, you really wanted to destroy him, what would you do?
Pause it. Well, I would do is I would install a CEO there who was serially harassing women, sexually harassing them. I would put hosts on air who were serial sexual harassers.
Love the factor.
I would instruct the vast majority of the male hosts on the network to sexually harass their colleagues or contributors. I would say maybe if like they had trouble doing that, I would say at the very least you better be sending dick pics. That's what I would do. But go ahead, let's hear what Pat Robertson.
Look, Paul, like, if you don't have the balls to actually grab some, at least send a fucking picture.
What would you do? Well, you would send some salacious material, ostensibly from one of their popular co-hosts or hosts, and you'd send it out and then get it publicized. And then you'd have some woman complain that she had gotten this salacious material from this particular co-host. And then you'd come to Fox, and Fox is so averse to any kind of legal action that they would immediately take the person what? Off the air. So before long, you would have decimated the primetime lineup of all the Fox hosts. Easy to do? Absolutely. Is it being done? Probably. And the latest attack is against a guy named Eric Bolling, who I think is a straight hour. He was on this program. He's a dedicated Catholic, goes to Mass every day. Very nice man. They've pulled him off the air because somebody sent some pictures ostensibly over his name. But what they've done is take away one of the most popular hosts in their lineup. And then they got rid of O'Reilly, who was the top getter
of women's sexual bodies, their bodies.
Got rid of him. And, of course, they got rid of Roger Ailes, who was the architect of putting it all together.
He was the one who showed everybody how to sexually harass.
Everybody could make charges. But, ladies and gentlemen, if this is going on, and it could easily do it, I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it is so easy to see what's being done. I think it's a terrible shame, and Fox had better cinch up their, they talk about gird up the loins. I mean, they better gird up their loins and realize that people are going after them. And...
I think gird up the loins may have been the wrong choice of words there. Let me just... See,
I like it's almost like he's turning into like a media critic. He's like, and then who's left? Jesse Walters? That guy's terrible on camera. Gutfeld's a failed comedian.
Their aversion to lawsuits is them paying off anybody who even hints
at it. Yeah, exactly. Lawsuits are like, oh, you actually are going to respond to our relentless systemic sexual harassment. The fact that this Republican propaganda network was almost just actually like a front shell for a giant harassment organization.
I like how
I
he
think
sort
we'll
of
pay you off a little bit.
I like how he sort of like stumbles on to like what are the, they've gotten rid of also. Oh yeah, the other one who they had sexual harassment things, but then the Then they got rid of Roger Ailes, who also, I guess, sexual harassment things. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but they better pull up their pants.
I mean, why did you even...
They better pull up their pants.
Why did you position it as needing to install these people? No one needed to be installed. They were just assholes.
If you want to destroy Fox News, all you need to do is institute a sexual harassment policy and watch it go to work.
Yes. The key would be to actually allow women to believe that they should not be assaulted. And then it's just off to the races.
That could be the follow-up segment. I've heard Pat Robertson right. say stuff that ain't that far off.
All right. Folks.
Wait, real quick. Okay. Never mind.
Let's save that for the fun half.
No, it won't happen.
All right. Folks, you can support this program by becoming a member of this program.
Okay.
By joining this program. You can just, and we'll send you all sorts of pictures. No, we won't.
Would you like to see, hello, hi? Actually, that's what Matt and I were doing, a sketch of like MSNBC cock sexual harassment. like Jacob Sherman being like, would you like to see my desk?
Gabe Sherman.
It's not as big as Bowling's desk, but I have a desk too, and I actually enjoy intercourse in it as well. Oh, I'm sorry. Chris Hayes. Chris Hayes sends dicks.
Let's save this.
Play a fucking dirt bag.
Join themajorityreport.com, ladies and gentlemen, is where you sign up to become a member and support this free show every day. Your support makes this show possible. Join themajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And if you buy crap from Amazon or from jet.com, please do so through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. You will notice no difference, but we will get a kickback, which is why we call it majorityreportkickback.com.
And a good quick break. Also, why somebody pointed out the other day on Twitter that you and I, Jimmy Dore, we're all CIA employees. Think about it.
We'll be right back after this. Oh, wait, do we have any more? We had a lot of fun half things. We'll dig through. You don't look at the emails. Okay. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. 646-257-3920.
My mind.